The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
John DeLorean is predominantly known, I would think, for the car that bore his name and, of course, became a Hollywood celebrity, the car this is in Back to the Future and the series of Back to the Future. He himself is, of course, a much more interesting individual than just the DeLorean car, because he was one of the most successful and impactful both business executives and engineers in American history. He was the man behind the Pontiac GTO, one of the greatest cars Pontiac ever developed. As if that wasn't enough, he was the man behind the Pontiac Firebird. He was the youngest executive ever to run a division of GM. So at the time, one of the world's most powerful companies, he was running a significant division of it at only 40 years of age. And then he decided to come to Northern Ireland and start building stainless steel bodied cars with his own name on them. And we all know how that turned out. His daughter has decided she is going to burnish his legacy and brand and get back into the car manufacturing business, putting DeLoreans into the world again. Kat DeLorean, good morning.
Good morning.
Kat, can we talk, before we talk about the cars that you're planning to build, can we talk a little bit about your dad? Did you know at the time how significant he was in American industry?
That's a trick question. So I was told at the time how significant he was in American industry and history, but it actually wasn't until the past probably 2 years that it actually hit me. And I started to really appreciate what that meant and come to fully understand what that meant. And the truth is that no matter how hard I try, I can never fully take that in.
And do you remember any of the Northern Ireland experience? Because that was 84, 85. You would have been just, I would have thought, around the age that you could remember some of it. Do you recall any of that?
I don't think I want to. no, not really. Not the Northern Ireland experience itself. My brother was old enough. See, I believe he went to Belfast with my father. But I make the joke that I was born at the same time as the DeLorean, so in 1977, and I was very, very small. So I don't really remember what all that was like or about. And I think that's probably to my benefit, because the difference between the life that was and the life we ended up having was so stark and traumatic that I think that's part of the reason why it impacted my brother so much more deeply, because I never knew what it was like to be one of the 10 richest families in the world. I just kind of was told I was.
Well, then, for people unfamiliar, and forgive me for bringing up difficult memories, but just explain what the second half of that was like. Because, of course, when the car company collapsed, your dad ended up multiple millions in debt and ended up being entrapped in a cocaine trafficking trial. And that, of course, it was like O.J. Simpson. It was one of the trials of the decade and on TV, splashed across all of the papers. The juxtaposition of those two things has to be very difficult when you are the child of that man.
Yes. That's a great example. And it's the one that I use. It's like growing up the child of O.J. Simpson in today's times. It was devastating, especially since my brother, he was in middle school and I was just starting elementary school, and children are cruel. And so, we were heavily ostracized for being our father's children. And, you know, every time I tried to call to pay a bill when I became an adult, I'd tell them my last name. And the next question that came out of the other person on the line's mouth was, "Isn't your father still in jail?" Not what I called to talk about today, but okay. So it's been a really interesting experience. The other half of that too is we still had money, and I still went to all the schools that the other kids like me went to, but we didn't have the same status. And in that world, it ended up leaving my brother and I living this really strange life that was kind of stuck between being an A-list person and nobody, like totally ostracized. So I never really felt wealthy, despite growing up in what is now the ex-president's golf course was my childhood home. It never really felt like that. It felt like a farm that I rode motorcycles on, and I shopped. I joke that I shopped at the Gap, not Gucci. So
now, hang on, go back for a minute, Kat, just so that I'm clear. Trump's Bedminster golf course in New Jersey, where we have seen him golfing in so many different pictures and all the rest of it. That was your private house.
Yes, correct. That was my home. It was this wonderful, it's a giant mansion, but my father was so full of warmth that you could walk into this cavernous house with, I think, 43 rooms. I think it had 15 bathrooms, right? And you felt like the house hugged you, because even though it had these marble floors and these 40-foot ceilings in the entryway, he filled it with so much love and normalcy, which is, again, this crazy juxtaposition of growing up in that world that I joke you could run through the house with your muddy motorcycle boots. He might not like that, but that's kind of the world he cultivated for us. So while I did grow up in this amazing place that's now actually the clubhouse for the golf course, never really felt like a mansion or something so disconnected from reality. He made sure that it felt like just this weird normal existence to have grown up like that, which to me is the true credit to the human he was. I like to tell people, I can never change your mind about the man my father was, because I'm his daughter. So you'll always look at what I say as having an ulterior motive or my own perspective on it. But what I can do is show you the person he turned me into and my brother. And we grew up in this fantastically wealthy lifestyle. And all he wants to do is open a dog rescue. And all I want to do is open up an education program for kids. And I don't think that's normal for growing up in that lifestyle. And that's a testament to the values that he instilled in us and the way that he raised us despite everything that was going on in our lives and in his life.
Now, Kat, on the topic of the education program, this links to the manufacture of a new generation of DeLoreans. Now, any biography that I have read of your father, any profile that I have read of your father, all says that the one catastrophic mistake that John DeLorean made was shifting from being a senior GM executive into starting to do car manufacturing himself, because it is such a difficult thing. This begs the question, did you not learn a lesson from this?
Oh, goodness, I did. I absolutely did. And I will tell you, people ask me why I'm doing this. And I said, I tried not to. I actually tried not to. Our education program grew organically, which is just what's so beautiful about it. I retired from my position at 20 years what everybody calls a Fortune 100 bank here. I was a hacker. I had a really cool job, but I loved teaching people. So I wanted to spend a lot more of my time mentoring people. And I had this opportunity to actually retire from my position and take another one. And I wanted to focus on telling this positive story of my father that nobody else could. The stories that I heard over the decades of people talking about what this car meant to them. Every DeLorean owner has a story. Each one is unique, but they're all the same. They all talk about the first time they saw this car in the movie and how it completely changed or defined their life, or the first time they got the car and how it completely changed or defined their life.
But tell us then how this links to the education. How are you manifesting?
I'm going to tell you. Yeah. 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 So I'm writing this book and I'm trying to get in touch with people. And in the meantime, I'm building an education program in my little town in New Hampshire. Just one little program for the students at the school that we have to bring automotive engineering, because I thought it was a good idea. People found out, and I was contacted by Angel Guerra with his design of the car, and he wanted to build one as an art piece. And I joke that when you're a DeLorean and you try and build one car, you end up with a car company, because we were really trying to source wrecked cars and build an art piece to represent this 40th anniversary DeLorean he had. And people started contacting me from Detroit and from manufacturing industries. And the next thing I knew, I had two metal formers who worked with my dad on the original DeLorean in Detroit, who worked for OEMs and had a storied history. I had an entire engineering firm that wanted to work with me. I ended up with a whole car company and no car company. And they kept saying, let's just build more. Let's just build more. And I said, literally what you said. I said, I don't want to build a car company that did not end well for my father. I said this for probably 6 straight months, literally telling people, no, I don't want to do that. And what ended up happening was somebody said, well, if you build the car, you can pay for your education program. And that was like, wait, what? You're right. What if we could sell cars and pay for kids' education?
Well, this, if a lot of people are asking where they can, and the new car is beautiful. It is beautiful looking. If somebody wants to buy one of these, Kat, where do they go?
It's not for sale yet. And it might be, though, because what we're considering is we're supposed to release the car my father's 100th anniversary, which is this January. And so everybody can see a physical representation. But so many people are asking me how I get one. We're thinking of actually putting some feelers out and just seeing how many people would want to pre-buy one. And then that would also help further fund the program that's going to help build them, because it's not just a car that's built normally. The entire process involves bringing students in and giving them essentially a hands-on experience with these storied professionals to build this car. So it's going to be built, your car is going to be built by professionals, but it's also going to open the door for these kids to be part of it and to actually learn while this is being built. So hopefully, very soon, we'll have a way for people to actually let us know their interest. But
and
the
I
car will not.
I suspect you're going to have some interest in it, Kat. If this does come to fruition, it is. I would imagine people will be opening checkbooks right, left, and center. It is a hell of an endeavor. Kat, it's been a great pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for taking the time,
thank
particularly
you so, much,
so early
Anton.
For you.
Have a wonderful day. And oh, I would like to say I will be speaking virtually at a conference in Belfast on October 15th, the Family Business Conference. So if anybody wants to kind of go there and check out a DeLorean and see me talk, please.
Well, do me a favor, stick in the diary around early October and we'll join you for a longer conversation. We'll do the whole story of your dad because it needs more time than the 10 minutes that we had. So we will hopefully talk to you again in October. Kat DeLorean there, Chief Executive of DeLorean Next Generation. Keith Barry after the break.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.